Well, welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
So you should have gotten your September issue of the Lutheran Witness by now.
Hopefully. If you haven't, let someone know.
Yes. Yeah. In God's Time is the issue, the September issue of the Lutheran Witness.
There's some good stuff here.
Absolutely good stuff. And I hear, rumor has it, no, it's not a rumor, I heard it straight from the editor, that there's some good stuff, really good stuff in the October issue, so we're going to be covering that as well. Joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Brian Katchelmeyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Pastor Katchelmeyer, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be here on this morning.
You wrote an article this month, A Day of Light, A Day of Darkness, and begins with the sentence, on the day of Yahweh. I have to ask, what is significant or unique about the name Yahweh?
Well, this is the proper name of God. It's from the Hebrew word to be. So Yahweh is the one who is. He is the eternal one. He is the living one. This is the one who sent Moses from the burning bush. Who should I say sent me? Say, I am who I am sent you. That he is the one who is, the divine essence, the only true creator. He is light. He is life. But the uniqueness here in his name is we want to be clear that this is the true God who brought the people out of Egypt. So in the Old Testament, when they confess that God is Elohim, or which is the Hebrew word for Elohim, and in the land for God, Elohim is the Hebrew word for God, in the land of Canaan, everybody's worshiping some type of deity, some type of God. But to be clear about Elohim is Yahweh. This is the God who brought the people of Israel out of Egypt. So that confession of Yahweh is he's the one who delivers out of slavery. He's the one who brings out of darkness into his light. He's the one that brings salvation. So this is Yahweh who saves. And, of course, in the New Testament, when we confess that Jesus is Lord, what we're saying is Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is the one who is. He is the one who is light. He is the one who is life. And he's the one who redeems from slavery and brings out of darkness.
So you mentioned in this article the day of Yahweh. Where do we find that phrase in Scripture?
Well, it's in the Old Testament prophets. You'll see this frequently in the Old Testament prophets themselves. What will happen is it's the day that Yahweh is going to act. And what we see is the day that Yahweh will make everything right. When you look at days in the Old Testament, you begin in creation. That in the beginning is God, and then he creates everything. He brings forth light, he brings forth life, because that's who he is and that's what he does. And you have in creation, of course, you have the 6 days of creation, and then on the seventh day he rests. And so each one of these days is a day in which he is acting, in which he is doing, which he is creating. So when we talk about this last day, or the day of Yahweh, this is when everything has been made right. And you look at the new creation, the new heavens. But in particular, we want to look at it in the book of Isaiah, that's where we see the day of Yahweh in Isaiah chapter 13. And that day of acting is acting against Babylon. Babylon has now taken Israel into captivity in those days. Israel has gone into darkness, into the deception of the devil. They stop listening to the word of God. They stop walking in the light of God's promise of the Messiah. And they are brought into darkness. So in Isaiah 13 in particular, this is where he will act to bring this day. But this day of light, it gets confusing for the people because they automatically think that, well, it's the day that Yahweh brings and it's a day of light for us, but it's going to be a day of darkness for all those sinners out there. And when Isaiah and the prophets come to the people of God and say, now here's the problem, is that when you refuse to listen to the voice of Yahweh, when you reject the word of God, you resist the work of the Holy Spirit, you are just like all the other unrepentant sinners. And when you're cheering on how God's going to bring judgment upon the unrepentant sinners, this day of light that you're looking for will end up being a day of darkness for you. So it's kind of a whole play on this word of light and darkness, of life and death, of God's judgment to come.
the concepts of light and darkness, as you pointed out in you know, we see as early as creation, but then throughout scripture. Let's talk a little bit more about these concepts of light and darkness in scripture.
Well, again, you begin in creation, where God speaks light into existence. God, of course, is light himself. And so throughout scripture, when you have light, you have the sun, the moon, the stars. All of these are these lesser lights, and of course, those tell time. And when we talk about the idea of creation now, it's fallen. It is in rebellion against the Creator, we are now in this animosity with the Creator. Creation itself is corrupted. And when you talk about the stars and the sun and the moon in the sky, these lesser lights that are up there to tell time, when you talk about how God will bring everything to a closure at the end in the last day, all of these time-telling pieces are going to kind of stop working because time is up. And so when you have light, light itself brings forth life. But when you have darkness, darkness brings death. And in the scripture throughout the Old Testament, when the Gentiles, the pagans, they are constantly in a state of darkness because they do not have God's word. God's word itself brings light. And you'll see this in the New Testament, of course, when we talk about the incarnate word, Jesus himself, who is the eternal Logos, the eternal word of God, the only begotten Son of God, who will come into his fallen creation in order to restore creation in the incarnation, that he is going to bring everything together, reconcile Creator and creation together in his body and in his blood. So in John's gospel, when he opens up, he talks about in chapter 1 that the Word was in the beginning, and the Word is Christ, and the Word, of course, is light, and he's life, and he's the light of the world. And this is the light that the darkness cannot overcome. So you'll see this image of the light in the Messiah throughout the book of Isaiah. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 2, when you're talking about the coming kingdom of God, it's the language of mountains. And God's mountain is the highest of all the mountains. His kingdom is the exalted kingdom alone. And when this Christ comes, when the Messiah comes, born of the Virgin, like Isaiah 7, he will bring light to the Gentiles. So the nations, the other kingdoms, the other mountains will all flow up to this one mountain. And in Isaiah 2, that invitation goes out, come, let us walk in the light. But that invitation, of course, first goes out to God's own people, because God's own people have neglected and rejected God's word and promise of the Messiah. They have preferred to stumble in the darkness in their own sin and the deception of the devil. So when God sends prophets like Isaiah, he's trying to bring people out of the darkness and into his light, so that when we walk in his light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our sins and iniquities and transgressions against God. So light and darkness, death and life, sin and forgiveness, all of this is seen in this fallen creation, but then the Creator himself takes upon creation to enter in and to restore everything, to bring a new heavens and a new earth. And in fact, that's how the whole book of Isaiah ends in chapter 65 and chapter 66.
There are so many things that I want to ask right now.
She's, and we like, have mind blown.
Yeah. Oh, man. And we, in like the, what, 2 minutes we have left? Okay, let's see if I can ask this so it makes sense. You were talking about how lights tell time, and when the day of Yahweh comes, the lights will end because time will end. And then in new creation, we don't need these lights because Jesus is the light. Can you talk about that a little bit more in the 2 minutes that we have left?
Happen, of course, that with this language of light and dark is that people get confused because of sin, because of our own corrupted hearts. We may think that we're walking in the light and we're worshiping an idol. This is, of course, idolatry, which is false worship, which is not worshiping the true God, but an imaginary God that we have. So in this world, there are plenty of people who are blinded by the devil, who do not see. I mean, even understand the idea of seeing properly, you need light to see. When there's not light, it's complete darkness and you can't see anything. You stumble over things. Or even in your own house at the middle of the night, your knees or your shins going to find the coffee table because you don't have enough light to see where you're walking. Well, the whole idea here is that God himself is the light and he comes into the creation. So Jesus is the light of the world. And when he comes, he will shine upon the church. And this is where you have later on in Isaiah chapter 60, when your light has come, and arise and shine, the glory of Yahweh has arisen upon you, so that he is the light of the world. When he comes and he shines upon the people of God, the church then reflect the light to the nations, to the world. This is a constant image, even in the benediction of Aaron, where that God's face would shine upon us, that he would bless us, that his countenance would be upon us, so that others could see this light. See, he's the source of light, but then he shines upon us, we rise up, we reflect his light, and then others can see his light to gather and invite them into this light and being called out of darkness.
Pastor Brian Katchelmeyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and director of Redeemer Theological Academy, and author of Reading Isaiah with Luther New from CPH this month. Thanks so much, Pastor Katchelmeyer.
Oh, it's great to be here.
That does it for the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.